Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Soul Surrender Show. I'm your host, Skylar Scott. This podcast is a place where I hope that we can discuss and embrace ways to love all that we are and let go of everything that we are not. This podcast will be published on YouTube and Facebook in video format. So if you're a visual person like me, you may want to check it out there. However, it will also be posted on Spotify, Apple, all of the places that you listen to your podcasts. Additionally, you can also follow Soul Surrender Show on Instagram and on TikTok, where I'll be sharing shorter videos, clips, things like that, and some additional content. So you're welcome to follow and support the show at all of those places. The show does not have a Patreon account, nor am I offering subscriptions. However, as always, the best way to support the show is to listen, like, subscribe, follow. If there's a bell on the platform, click that bell and comment and share. All of those things will help the success of the show. And I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Today is my 42nd birthday, and the past 2 years have been the most challenging of my entire life, but yet the most rewarding, and have taught me more. I've learned more in the last 2 years than I've probably learned in the first 40 years times seven. I don't know where I got that math, but it's something like that. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about experiences that I've had with plant medicine. If you're not sure what I'm even talking about when I say plant medicine, commonly psilocybin mushrooms are referred to as plant medicine, ayahuasca. There's lots of them. Even cannabis in the right setting can actually be amazing medicine to help us. I'm not endorsing and telling any of you to use these medicines. And when it comes to plant medicine, you definitely want to make sure that it's something that you're ready for, something that you feel a connection to, something that's even calling you. So today I'm going to share some of my experiences and discuss some of the things that this medicine has taught me. Plant medicine didn't fix my problems. It didn't change any circumstances in my life and in my journey directly. However, it did teach me and show me some beautiful and powerful things. The medicine is a profound teacher, and not only a teacher, I think it's something that just reminds us of the divinity within ourselves and the divinity that we find throughout the universe. So my first experience that I'm going to talk about is with psilocybin. Psilocybin is the chemical that's found in the mushrooms. If you know nothing about psilocybin, I recommend watching Fantastic Fungi on Netflix. If you haven't seen it yet, it is amazing. And it talks about the benefits that mushrooms and psychedelics have had on so many people. In fact, back in the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of research done on these medicines, and they actually found a lot of amazing, really amazing results. They found that some people, maybe that even struggle with depression, might use psilocybin one or two times and never need the antidepressant again. A lot of addiction, a lot of people had addictions. They even did some studies with like chain smokers, and the results were astounding. And 6 months later, the people that had quit smoking still weren't smoking. But again, Fantastic Fungi on Netflix, I think it's still on there, is a great like documentary to start if you want to learn more about psilocybin. So let me tell you about an experience, a journey. It's commonly referred to as a journey, because really when you are done with the medicine, it really is as though you have gone on a journey, that you went places, sometimes like you've lived an entire lifetime. And in fact, the psilocybin journey I want to talk about is one in which I lived an entire lifetime, all in the same journey. I was a baby, I was a toddler, I was a little boy, I was a man, I was an old man, almost all simultaneously, but also I had moments where I visited those stages. And it was interesting, even when I felt old and wise and just connected to stuff, I'm kind of old, I'm 42, I'm not that wise yet, but it was amazing because it was almost like I could experience all that I was in this lifetime here in this journey. But a little later on this journey, I just got into just space that I call Little Skylar. And it's just kind of that pure light space that all of us have. All of us have within us. And some people just call it the divine light. People refer to it as the light of Christ, or however you look at the divine. There's a piece of us, then there's a purity that we have that we never really lose. And when I felt this, I remember a song came on, and I stood up and I began to dance. And when I did, this rush of innocence just started to radiate from me. And I felt just so loved and so pure. And in reflecting back on this moment, you know, this is a journey that, you know, if I learned anything from this journey, it's this: innocence and purity and light is never lost. It's only forgotten. Our innocence is never lost. We just forget it. And in that moment, when I was so connected with that pure self, that self that wasn't tied up in judgment and worry and cares, it was the most profound moment. And it was a beautiful reminder that that's truly the essence of who we are. And as we grow, we get all these distractions and we start to identify with all of these things that are outside of that beautiful light. And in time, you know, in this time game we're in, we forget. Sometimes we forget how beautiful, how innocent, and how pure we are. So later in that journey, I found myself outside just laying on these rocks, looking up through the trees at the stars, and this beautiful, serene landing period. When you do psilocybin, the medicine, there is just kind of a climb at the beginning. And it usually is about a four or five hour process. The interesting thing is it sometimes feels like it was a lifetime. It definitely feels double that. You're like, there's no way that it's been an hour. I feel like I've been experiencing things for two or three or more hours. But this was kind of, and then it kind of peaks, and then you go into this beautiful landing period. And this was during the landing period, and I was laying on these rocks looking up at the stars. It was a new moon. There's no moon out, and I'm up in the mountains, up in the hills, and it is with this group, and it's just beautiful. And I'm looking like through the stars, and they're literally just dancing in the leaves, and I could just feel creation. And I just started to take just deep breaths, and I just focused on my breath. And within moments, it felt like my soul filled up the entire universe. My soul was everywhere. Yet the entire universe was within my soul simultaneously. And there were no worries. All there was love. And I've had experiences with psilocybin. I've held space for others just, you know, while they're taking the medicine. And it's interesting how many people they arrive at is all there is love. All the fear, all the worries, all the cares, all the things we get caught up in this world don't matter, and in some ways don't even exist when we can get a perspective of how this divine love and power is everywhere. And we're a part of it. We're not disconnected or separate from it. In fact, we could never really be disconnected from it. It's the essence of who we are. This experience was during a time where I felt like my world was crumbling. I was going through a divorce. I had a lot of big changes in my life. But it was a moment in which I knew, okay, I'm okay. And everyone I love is okay. And it's something that I kept with me. And again, I find myself, we all get caught up in the world we live in. We get caught up in our fears, our egos, and that's just kind of part of the human experience. But as I get still, if I can just reflect on these moments, I can recenter myself and find that peace that I had. So that is one of my psilocybin experiences that was really profound. And those of you that have experienced psilocybin, feel free to share in comments. I actually love hearing people's experiences. And it's interesting how similar that our experiences are when we tap into that beautiful space. So the next journey, the second journey I want to talk about today is ayahuasca. Now, at the time I'd experienced psilocybin a few years ago, I remember someone talking about ayahuasca. And when they did, they talked about it. I'm like, that sounds so good. But I had this gut feeling, no way. No, not now. And initially I thought, I don't think I want to do ayahuasca. I don't think I have a need. And there was just something that I thought, no. And then kind of like as the year went on, all of a sudden I started being more open to it. And then I found myself, maybe about 6 months ago, all of a sudden I felt like it was calling me. I felt like I was ready for it. And like I said, when it comes to plant medicine, it's got to be something that you're doing in a safe environment. And it's something that you're connected to, and it's something that you're ready for. It really does. When you look at everything and learn everything, if you feel like, oh, this is something I want to experience, that's enough. There's something likely there for you. Always participate in it, in the right setting. You do it with intention. The first time I took it, I remember the person that gave it to me said, treat this as medicine. And you decide the intention of what you want as you partake of it. And so you approach it, in a way that you're really trying to connect with something, as opposed to, I'm going to take mushrooms and go watch 10 of my funniest movies, things like that. The experiences that I have been very intentional, and what I've got out of them has been amazing. But on top of that, you want to do it, when I say the right setting, you want to do it with the right people. You want to make sure you're doing it in people that have experience with it, people that you trust. So right place and right people, because the people administering it are the people holding space for you. And so you want to make sure that you're in a space to where you can be comfortable and that you can completely let go. And really, that's the biggest thing with the medicine, especially psilocybin. It's common. People sometimes say that people will fight the medicine. They'll resist it. It's really common. It depends on like how much fear and stuff that comes up. But the more that we can just let go. That's when the medicine becomes the most powerful teacher, and that's when you learn the most about yourself, because really so much of this life is letting go of everything that's not real, letting go of everything that we're not, and just experiencing all the beautiful, bright, loving balls of soul that we are. Okay, heading back to ayahuasca. I prepared a long time, and even when I knew that it was calling me, I waited months and months until I found what I felt was the right moment for me. And I took the medicine, and it was like a three-part journey. The third journey is the one that I want to talk about. And in this journey, I felt this beautiful, divine, feminine presence come to me. Something interesting with my experience with plant medicine is I've had these experiences where I felt connected to the divine. And when I do, it usually is a female feminine presence. People will often talk about how ayahuasca in particular, they'll call it the grandmother, the mother. It is a medicine that has a feminine presence. And I think that it's been a beautiful way for me to heal and reconnect with myself and even with the divine feminine. When it comes to masculine, feminine, the yin and the yang, I don't understand all of that. I mean, I feel like we're all of it. I think that in life we have a gender even, but even gender is this experience. However, maybe it's because I'm a mama's boy, but some of my most divine moments, it's usually with her. So I felt her come to me, and I was just lying down on this little bed, and I'm with a group of people, and we're all just very quiet, and she just said, be still, and then she went away. And being still is a really good thing for all of us, especially for me. I've always been like a really energetic, really hyper person. I have, ADD, ADHD. I definitely had the H as a kid. I was really, really hyper. But being still is very, very healthy for me, and it's really challenging. But when she said, be still, it went through my whole body, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be still. And as I laid there, I turned into like a lion. Turned into this big cat, and I was just laying there, and it was like I was laying in the reeds there, and I was completely motionless. I couldn't believe how still I could hold. I even adjusted my breathing to where I barely moved at all. It's almost like I became invisible. And we were in this place where they had these big windows and they had these big birds, and the birds were up in the trees, and every once in a while they would make noises. They would squawk and make noises like that. I could sense them. I could sense the air, the wind. I could sense, and it was almost like I could sense how, like, if a big cat knew where the prey was, it could smell it, it could sense it, and also how the prey just has these instincts and hearing that it could hear or smell a predator way away from it, or definitely like when it's getting close. And so again, it was like I'd become invisible. I didn't move. And then every once in a while, I'd realize, okay, I need to turn a little bit. I need to shift a little bit. And I remember when I wanted to, I would really just think, okay, I'm going to turn in 1, 2, 3. When I would move, the second I moved, one of the birds would freak out and squawk and make noise, to where even if I made the slightest noise, it was covered up. It's like instinctually, I knew how to disappear. I knew how to mask myself. I knew it was just this amazing experience. And maybe the experience in itself of becoming a cat isn't something we all need, but it taught me about just being still. So I laid there like this in this space for hours. Sometimes I wonder how long a lion or a panther or a jaguar will sit there invisible before it knows when to pounce and when to roar and when to make its move. I didn't have to pounce or hunt anything, but after laying there for hours, she came back to me. And when she came back to me, she just laid and took me in her arms. And when she did, I felt the most beautiful peace. I felt love radiating from her through my body, love for me radiating back, this beautiful, beautiful connection. And I remember it was almost like I was just melting. I was melting into her, being supported in every way, being loved in every way, being comprehended. All of a sudden in my head, I heard this voice. I don't have to breathe anymore. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was being elevated. And there was nothing but this beautiful white light. And being in that light was so peaceful. It was so still. And it just felt so amazing and complete. And I really don't know how long I was in that space. I was just there. I was just being. And at some point, I felt myself going back into a physical form. But now I was in water. I was in water. And I would move in water, and I was moving around, and I heard a drum. I actually thought someone in the room was hitting a drum with a steady beat. But I kept hearing this drum as I'm just floating in this water. And the drum, all of a sudden, I started to just become more aware of it and more conscious of it. And the drum was a heartbeat. And I was in a womb. And when I was in the womb, I would move my hands and my feet and move around in the water. And the sensation of just moving my hand through the water was so amazing. It was so filled with experience, like I'd never experienced a tingle like this or a movement like this. And being in that womb was like being in heaven. Being in that womb, it was like I never wanted to leave. Just like when I was up with my soul, I could have just been there forever. But now I was also in this beautiful experience. And I was happy, and I felt joy, and it was just experiencing just what it was like to be in there. And again, I felt the drum, and then the presence began talking to me again. And she said, "Today's your birthday." And I go, "To my birthday?" And now kind of I'm coming back, and I kind of get back into like little Skyler. She goes, "It's your birthday." And I go, "Okay." And I go, "It is?" And she goes, "Skyler, every day's your birthday." Every day, you're brand new. Every day, you're perfect and pure. And she goes, and it's your birthday. And I just remember feeling this overwhelming just rush of joy. And I just felt so beautiful when I felt her presence. I felt so loved. And she said, I'm going to give you a gift for you to share with everyone on your birthday. And I said, what is it? And she said, you'll know. And I go, no, what is it? I was really excited. What's the gift? And then she was gone. She'd left again. And then I felt myself just then coming back into my body. And I opened my eyes. And the moment I opened my eyes, almost instantly, the light turned on where we were. And the ceremony was over. And there was these beautiful women that were conducting the ceremony and holding the space. And the main woman was sitting there and she had us gather around. And when I came up, she looked at me and said, happy birthday. And when she did, I realized what the gift was. The gift that she wanted to share with everyone. It was me. I was the gift. I was my mother's perfect, pure, beautiful creation. It was such an amazing experience. And again, I don't fully understand, you know, maybe I'm a mama's boy. And so that's why, you know, I've had these experiences. I've also wondered, having been raised in such a patriarchal society, how much we've lost connection with Mother Earth. How much we've lost, you know, lost connection. And I actually, that's not even the right way to phrase it, because we're always connected. But I think we've forgotten that connection. For me, it was profoundly so healing. And there was another moment in the journey where she asked me, she goes, how do you feel? And I felt her looking at me. And anytime I feel her looking at me, it's always the same response from little Skylar. She goes, how do you feel, Skylar? And I said, beautiful. And she said, yes, you are beautiful. I was the first to behold your beauty. And I had another memory of being held by a woman, and I was a baby, and she was looking at me. And when she looked at me, it was almost like just her looking at me made me beautiful. It made me feel so loved. I have had, again, just some incredible experiences through my life. But the first 40 years of my life, I always wrestled with myself. And I always wanted to be better or do something to become more loved. The song that I danced to when I was the four-year-old boy and dancing and just feeling that powerful feeling, it is called, and I'll probably give you a song every podcast, it's called Stupid Deep. By John, Bellion. Is it Bellion? I think Bellion. John Bellion? Bellion? We'll just say John Bellion. If I pronounced it wrong, sorry, John. But I'm, check out his song. And John, if I did pronounce it wrong, if you could change the name you pronounce your name to the way that I said it, just so I'm not embarrassed. That'd be cool. But no need. But anyway, this song talks about having a hole in your heart that's stupid deep. And the reason it's stupid deep is it's not real. For the first 40 years of my life, I always tried to make myself better and fix parts of myself. And no matter how good I was or how much service I rendered, no matter what, I just felt like it was never complete. I could never quite fix it. And now I've realized there's a reason I couldn't. I was never broken. There's a reason I could never complete myself, because I was always whole. I think that'll be it for today. I really appreciate you guys listening. This is the Soul Surrender Show. I'm Skylar Scott. We'll talk to you soon.